You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
How about all the legends in that rivalry? Week 8 is upon us. The Steelers remain undefeated heading into another AFC North clash we just showed you. This time it'll be the Ravens. We'll tell you exactly why the Steelers defense, well-equipped against reigning MVP Lamar Jackson. Welcome to NFL Live. Keyshawn Johnson's here. Dan Orlovsky is there. Marcus Spears as well. And Adam Schefter with some trade news. We're now just 6 days away from the deadline. So, Sheffy, we begin with you on that.
Laura, the Cincinnati Bengals are making a rare in-season trade, dealing Carlos Dunlap to the Seattle Seahawks for reserve offensive lineman B.J. Finney and a 2021 seventh-round draft pick. So the Seahawks get some pass-rushing help, and the Bengals get some offensive line help. Dunlap will be a Seahawk. As for Allen Robinson, the Bears wide receiver, he's now in concussion protocol and needs to pass through that before he'll be able to play in Sunday's game against the Saints, who have their own wide receiver issues with Michael Thomas. And the Dallas Cowboys have quarterback issues because Andy Dalton also remains in concussion protocol after suffering this big hit on Sunday. If he can't start on Sunday night in Philadelphia against the Eagles, it would be the first NFL start for Ben DiNucci going up against the Philadelphia Eagles as they try to take command of the NFC East, Laura.
All right, let's get back to Steelers Ravens, where once again, the Steelers are featured in the game of the week. The Ravens have been adding pieces, grabbing Yannick Ngakoue, Dez Bryant, eyes clearly set on winning a championship. What a time for a division rivalry. These two teams and fan bases always competing. Isn't that right, Lamar Jackson?
I'll say it's the team going out there battling, but it's the cities too. Like, I feel like our fans, our city, they get the most out of it more than we do sometimes. I can't even imagine, like, being in the stands watching us perform against them or they performing against us. It's going to be a lights-out game.
A physical one, it can be nasty at times. But I've always felt, as many times as my nose has been broke, we've had injuries, it's been a close game. It's always been football in its truest form in the sense that it's never dirty. It's never been nasty. It's just been hard-nosed football. This is one you always want your bye week to be after.
Both quarterbacks sure to see the blitz early and often on Sunday. The Steelers ranked first in blitz percentage, while the Ravens ranked third in blitz percentage this season. And the advantage clearly on Big Ben's side in this one is he's completing 67% of his passes with 5 touchdowns and 1 interception against the blitz. Lamar Jackson, on the other hand, averaging just 5.9 yards per attempt, completing 55% of his passes against the blitz this season. So, Marcus, it feels like the Steelers obviously going to blitz Lamar, but what happens when he starts making some of those plays outside the pocket like we know he can?
Yeah, Ailes, you got to be very careful with guys like this because that can a blitz where you miss an assignment or guys get caught up in the same lane or you have guys just not on the same page. Lamar is the guy that can take it 80. You have to be real careful. We talk about Patrick Mahomes and how he makes you pay with his arm down the field when you blitz him. In Lamar Jackson's case, if he shakes a tackle or if you miss a tackle and he gets outside of the pocket, everybody else is in man-to-man, potentially with their back turned, and he can go and scoop. We all know that. So, look, the Pittsburgh Steelers have guys that can do it without having to add extra pressure, but that would be against who they are as a football team. But you got to be very careful when you're playing these mobile guys like this to have lane integrity and make sure you get him on the ground when you get your hands on him. Because if you don't, the Steelers can give up some very explosive plays to Lamar Jackson.
Marcus, you said it best. That is exactly what could happen if you don't pay attention to what's going on with Lamar Jackson. He could torch you with those legs. But I believe the Pittsburgh Steelers will blitz him, and they'll play blitz zone. They'll do that early and often to allow him to try and make the mistakes that they wish he could make in terms of throwing the football because the receiving core that they have right now cannot beat man-to-man coverage against the Pittsburgh Steelers with that defensive front applying the type of pressure that we know they can. So if you turn your back, if you play cover two man or straight up man-to-man, he pulls that ball down. Now he's going 80 and going the distance. So I think Mike Tomlin is smart enough to know that. That's why you'll see them facing him, looking at him when he pulls the football down the run. They'll be there with 11 hats trying to get on him at all times and make him fit the football in the tight windows in a zone-type defensive scheme.
Yeah, eye discipline's so big for any defense against Lamar Jackson. Dan, the Steelers' offense on the other side, especially their weapons, have been clicking in a really big way. Not many defense really match up well against them. But what do you think the Ravens can do?
Yeah, they're one of the two that does match up well against them because they got the guys that can cover. I mean, Marcus Peters can cover. Marlon Humphrey can cover. Jimmy Smith can cover. And so they've got some guys that'll go, okay, if we do want to pressure, because that's what Baltimore wants to do. They do want to bring pressure against Big Ben. At least they feel good. Okay, we can match up with Claypool and Juju and Deontay Johnson. The guy for me is going to have to be Eric Ebron, because while the Ravens do have some guys that are good in coverage, like Chuck Clark or Deshaun Elliott, like I think Ebron is a good matchup piece. And that's going to be this game is, you know, we've talked about the Ravens blitzing, the Steelers blitzing the Ravens. Well, the Ravens want to blitz the Steelers as well. And Big Ben has been very good at getting out of his hands. So that'll be a huge matchup for this game. I also think, like, the Steelers' defense, if you go back to last year and the way that they played Lamar, he only played against them once last year because RG3 played at the end of the year. They were very calculated with what they wanted to do. They wanted to kind of give Lamar the thought like, hey, your tight ends are going to be open. Lamar loves throwing the ball to tight ends, so that'll be a pick. And then we're going to send him down the seam. Hey, we think your tight end's open. No, we're going to trap him underneath and then roll over the top. That equals another pick. And then they slough off in coverage. Key talked about some zone pressures. Slough off in coverage, give them opportunities to think that throws are there, try to get it over defenders and equal picks. So, you know, last year when you watched these teams play, Key hit it on the head. Like, they did play some zone coverage with some pressure, and it flustered Lamar Jackson. And so it'd be really interesting to see how both teams execute their pressure packages versus the other quarterbacks.
Yeah, the coaching going to be interesting, too. Sunday marks the 25th meeting between Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh. That's the most between two head coaches in the Super Bowl era. Let's get this in new on NFL Live from the Baltimore Ravens. I mentioned that they've added some pieces. A first look at newly signed wide receiver Dez Bryant on the practice field wearing number 11. Back in the game is Dez Bryant. He said earlier in the week when he got the news, he couldn't stop crying. He was so excited about this opportunity. Adam Schefter back with us with a developing story for Super Bowl 55 in Tampa. What can you tell us, Adam?
Laura, the NFL currently is planning to have 20% of the seating capacity at Raymond James Stadium at the Super Bowl this season. And that means that stadium normally holds just over 65,000 fans. It could be enlarged with temporary seating to up to about 75 or so thousand fans, which means the crowd at the Super Bowl this year could be between 13 and 15,000 fans, with fans required to wear masks to be in pods 6 feet apart. And so just like every home team is adapting and adjusting to football in the pandemic, the Super Bowl is not immune. It is no different. And the league is currently proceeding with plans to have reduced seating at this season's Super Bowl, which could mean between 13 and 15,000 fans.
All right, Adam, stick with me now. Back to one of our top stories today. The Seahawks bolstering their defense, adding Carlos Dunlap in a trade with the Bengals. So let's talk about this and the timeline for the trade deadline. It's still 6 days away, but what's the driving force behind other deals like this? We're seeing a few days ahead of the deadline getting done now, Adam.
Well, just like last week, Lori, you saw the Baltimore Ravens complete their trade with the Vikings for Yannick Ngakoue so that they could get him in over the weekend during their bye so he could be ready past the COVID protocols, which take 5 days, and then be ready to play Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So anybody that trades for a player on Tuesday, this Tuesday, which would be the NFL trade deadline, they might not be able to have that player for that Sunday's game. The Detroit Lions, who traded for Everson Griffin yesterday, won't have Griffin this week, but will have him the next week against the Minnesota Vikings when he makes his debut for the Lions against his former team. And so the sooner you can get a guy, the sooner you can start the clock on the 5 days of COVID testing, and the sooner he gets out on the field, the one fewer game he would miss. That's why you see trades like this today between Cincinnati and Seattle for Carlos Dunlap.
Yeah, just another piece in a really crazy, complicated year. Let's talk about Carlos Dunlap a little bit more and the Seahawks adding to that defense. Marcus, just a couple days ago after the Seahawks lost to the Cardinals, you said they missed Jadeveon Clowney, especially in key situations. Now they add a guy who might be able to fill that void.
Yeah, no doubt, Els. This was a big signing for the Seattle Seahawks. And I'm not talking about production where you're going to have a guy come in and get 10, 15 sacks before the end of the season. It's quite possible with Carlos if he returns to form like he like early in this year in Cincinnati. But situational football, like we've seen playoff games, championship games come down to players that can get to the quarterback and get guys off of their spots. If you look at Seattle's game the other night against Arizona, as much as Kyler Murray scrambles around, comfort in the pocket was something that you could notice with him being able to slide as opposed to having to take off. That's what Carlos Dunlap will offer for the Seattle Seahawks. And people talk, I made the comparison with Jadeveon Clowney because even though Clowney didn't have gaudy sack numbers, he was able to pressure the quarterback and make them uncomfortable in the pocket and get them off schedule. And I think that's the thought process with Seattle bringing in Carlos Dunlap, especially if you look at this season with teams that have the ability to get pressure on the quarterback on third down and even rush with four in order to keep guys in coverage. Those are the teams defensively that are having success. I think this is a huge signing for a Super Bowl contending team that needed to address that particular position.
This is a direct reflection of that division. They lost to Arizona. They saw what Kyler Murray was able to do to them in terms of extending plays, delivering the football in sync. They had a chance to see up close in person what he was able to do. Not only that, you look at Jared Goff throwing the ball all over the lot, having success this year. Then Jimmy G is starting to kind of get in rhythm at times. So when you look at trying to win a division and make a deep run into the playoffs, you've got to have somebody, like you say, Marcus, to get to that quarterback. Not necessarily sacking, but just hover around his legs a little bit, make him feel uncomfortable, get him off his mark. And this, and Dan, in the division, they got three guys right now and they can do that.
This is about February. This is a Super Bowl-worthy football or offense, Super Bowl-winning offense. And right now, through six games, their defense has given up more yards than anybody in the history of the NFL. I think we got to keep in context, too, understanding how unique this offseason has been. You know, this team necessarily didn't know what their defense was going to be like because they didn't have OTAs. And they didn't really have a true offseason. They didn't have preseason games. And so maybe they needed to get through this first 6 weeks to go, you know what? This defense isn't good enough for us to win the Super Bowl with. This move is good. It won't be the last one. I promise you, we'll come in tomorrow or sometime on Friday or Monday, and they will have made another move to add somebody else to that defensive line. Because, like I said, it's a Super Bowl-winning offense. And this defense will hold them back from doing it. Carlos Dunlap is an addition that helps, but it doesn't fix the defense. They still need to add another rusher.
Yeah. It'll help to get Jamal Adams back healthy, certainly. But, guys, even if Carlos Dunlap just has a couple of sacks, it'll be a big help. The Seahawks are recording a sack on just 2.9% of opponents' dropbacks this season. That's the fourth lowest rate in the league.
The Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow. The Los Angeles Chargers select Justin Herbert.
I'm here to win games and win championships.
The start at quarterback for the Chargers in a surprise move, Justin Herbert.
Burrow with time, floats it downfield. Caught!
Herbert has been money on long distance plays. Touchdown, LA Chargers.
Ready to be the face of a franchise.
Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow have been nothing short of sensational this season. It's been fun to watch. Herbert has recorded 14 touchdowns, both through the air and on the ground. That's the third most by a player through five career games in NFL history, trailing only Patrick Mahomes and Kurt Warner. As for Burrow, he just threw for 300-plus yards for the fifth time this season. Yeah, five times. That's the second most by a rookie in NFL history. He needs just one more to tie Andrew Luck's rookie record. They've been on fire. Keyshawn, when you look at Herbert, and when you look at Joe Burrow, who's the guy that's going to have more long-term success in your mind?
You know, I want to say it's Joe Burrow, but I also, Laura got me with that one, but I also look at Cincinnati. And Cincinnati doesn't show me, or hasn't shown me in the past, that they're committed to winning long-term, where the Chargers have kind of gotten me to believe that they are trying to win long-term, whether it's with Phillip Rivers and LaDainian Thomas, and over the years just making the playoffs and doing some different things with Phillip Rivers at quarterback. Now in comes Justin Herbert. I know a lot of people looked at him early on in his college career, and he was the number one overall pick for a couple years. Then all of a sudden last year, there was a guy named Joe Burrow that emerged in the eyes of most college football fans. I'll happen to be out on the West Coast and have seen him play a number of games against USC, against Arizona, Arizona State, Washington, you name it. I was in the building last year against Herm Edwards and Marvin Lewis and Antonio Pierce's defense, and they torched him. They got after him. So people walked away from that, Lars, saying, I don't know if he's NFL ready yet. This is the first time he really faced an NFL-style defense. He goes to the Senior Bowl. People kind of liked him at the Senior Bowl and said, okay, big, strong arm, reminds him a lot of a young Drew Bledsoe with a little bit more mobility. I saw him against Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl, kind of fell in love with him. Now when you look at him in the NFL, he's completing 67% of his passes thus far. It's pretty good. 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's accounted for over 150 yards on the ground in 2 plunges. I think in terms of success, the Chargers are going to continue to put people around him to be successful. I am not comfortable saying that Cincinnati is going to do the same for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, it's so interesting with Herbert because I think the offense in college just wasn't quite suited to his skill set. At the NFL level, he's been what we kind of thought he could be potential-wise so far. Marcus, when you think about Joe Burrow and what he's got to deal with at Cincinnati, he's a guy that you want to bet on, but there are some complications to that.
Okay, let me unbutton my jacket. Cincinnati, listen up, damn it, because I'm finna give you the blueprint, all right? Everybody spend a lot of time looking for a franchise quarterback that can actually play, all right? Don't get him bludgeoned. We saw Andrew Luck retire early, and we wanted to see what Andrew Luck could become in Indianapolis and how many championships he could win. You are in this position right now. Don't miss it. Everybody in America can see it. All of the analysts on every network can see it. Joe Burrow can take you to where you've been trying to go. You went to the playoffs with Andy Dalton. So we've seen in parts under Marvin Lewis, you guys have opportunities to play really good football. Yes, you're in a tough division with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, the Baltimore Ravens aren't going anywhere with Lamar Jackson. Cleveland seems to be getting good and trending in the right direction. Listen to me, Cincinnati. Surround him with the right players. Get people that can protect him. Because right now, he's almost willing you to wins with a not-so-great roster if anybody else is paying attention. Joe Burrow is your future. You can win Super Bowls with Joe Burrow. Cincinnati, you can win Super Bowls with an S with Joe Burrow. Just make sure you do what you have to do in this draft, the next draft, and the following 1-3 years from now, where you surround him with the kind of guys that he needs in order to put you on the top, and he can. This will be a top 5 quarterback in 2 years in the NFL. Based on what we're watching now, Joe Burrow would not fall off of a cliff. We all talked about his acumen. He was 23 years old when he was drafted, so he's mature, understands what it takes to continue to get good in this league. Cincinnati, don't mess this up, because if y'all mess this up, I'll be sitting on NFL Live 2 years from now, and trust me, I already know y'all know what I'm going to be saying.
Probably the word damn. Did you buckle your jacket?
A few times.
Since you unbuckled it, did you buckle it back up?
He's going to leave it open the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, it's
important. I'll buckle it back.
It's important for everyone to understand, like, what's going on between Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert is not normal. Like, the way they're playing is not normal. Everybody at home, like, rack your brain. When was the last time we had two rookie quarterbacks come into the NFL and play this well, this early on? For me, it's 2012. It's Andrew Luck and RG3, and we could throw Russell Wilson in there, but he wasn't expected to. He wasn't playing really good on a bad football team. Like, both these teams had early draft picks. I think the most impressive thing for Justin Herbert is how quickly he's playing. You know, we always talk about the biggest challenge for quarterbacks going into the NFL is the mental aspect of things. How fast can they make decisions? And that is a 7-step drop, swipe the ball up on your chest on a go route. This is a drop back third down where you realize you're in man coverage and I'm out. Like, things are happening really fast for Justin Herbert. And that's not normal because we heard how smart he was leading into the draft. I've been around a lot of smart guys that go into the NFL, and they're not football smart. They're just book smart, right? He's this guy that's like book smart, but also football smart. Keyshawn's neither.
Oh, come on.
I almost threw my pen at you, but I'm going to leave it alone.
Don't do it.
But then Joe Burrow, it's like when you watch Joe Burrow play, it's how well he sees the field. Again, not normal for a rookie quarterback. Like, look at him hang in the pocket, realize coverage underneath is super deep. I got to change the tempo of the football. How about this one? Back shoulder and man coverage on a good corner, Denzel Ward. The ability to climb the pocket and drill that ball on time at the front of the goal line. Love it. Climb the pocket, move, eyes downfield, get the ball out. Like, Steve Young, I said Joe Burrow reminded me of Steve Young, saw the field so well. Joe Burrow sees the field so well. If you just watch the tape, it's a blind resume. You had no idea who it was. You'd go, that kid's been playing in the NFL for 10 years. Hmm. And he's been playing well in the NFL for 10 years. What they're doing is not normal.
Yeah, you mentioned the historical context here. Let me give you a little bit more. Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow currently rank first and second, respectively, in passing yards per games among rookies in NFL history, leaving many to wonder what to expect from Tua down in Miami. We'll finally get to see him. We'll get to that. Oh, you did throw the pin, but we didn't catch it on camera.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
The Browns taking on the Raiders in Week 8. This week, of course, without OBJ, who is done for the season after tearing his ACL. We've talked about it on this show, and look, the numbers don't lie, whether you like it or not. Baker Mayfield has been better statistically when OBJ isn't on the field. OBJ's teammate Jarvis Landry and fellow wide receiver does not agree with that premise. Here's what he said about it.
I would say that's not true at all. A lot of our offense has been solely based on having Odell on the field, you know, and a lot of the things that have opened up for us as an offense has been because of the threat that he is. Now we just got to find a way to adapt and adjust and make plays.
That on the Bull and Fox Show, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. But Dan, you and Key are going to tell us why there's more to this story.
Well, the eye in the sky doesn't lie, Laura. And this is going to be the same play, two very different results. I want to teach everyone a little bit. So this play, same formation. It's going to be weak. That fullback's in a weak position. This is going to be called two jet Z curl, where the tight end's going to sit over the ball. The Z receiver, who's Jarvis Landry's got a curl route, free released by the tailback. Now the read is going to be for the quarterback, 1, 2 to 3. Now this play is built to beat cover three, where those inside linebackers are really going to be a part of the read. And I want to draw the route again. Curl, curl, back release. Now the defense is going to be cover three. This play was put in by Bill Walsh 40 years ago to beat this
or longer.
Now, Key, I want to bring you down here to everybody down here. This is Odell Beckham. He's got a go route. Now, Key, I want you to talk to me about the go route versus cover three. What's your mindset as a receiver?
It's a dead route. I'm being used up at this point. This is not a cover three beater. Not at all. It's simply just to clear it out because somebody's coming into the flat.
Why for you is it not a cover three beater?
Because he's off coverage. He's 10 yards off of me. The only thing I can do is catch the ball in front of him, not behind him.
So now for me as a quarterback, I break the huddle. And for this, for Odell's route, I know this as a yes-no pass concept where I say to myself, yes before the snap or no before the snap. Now that corner, like he is saying, is telling me, no, I'm not throwing that go route. It's just an alert. But I want everyone to watch. Baker Mayfield drops back to pass. And for some reason, he's already letting go. That thing just went blank on me. He's already letting go of the football and ends up being an interception. Even though that corner, we've got another freeze. Even though that corner drifted back. Now, Key, that's the same exact play. They went into that same formation. ran the same play, but what was the difference in the second play comparison to the first
play? Well, he learned from his mistake. It was the same exact play, like you said, on the left-hand side that was off coverage. But what he did is he said, okay, pre-snap read, the clock in my head, the mindset tells me I got to get off of him right now. Get to the curl because that's what it is. The last time I threw an interception, so he learned.
But why did he throw the interception on this first play?
Well, because it's Odell Beckham.
Exactly.
It's number 13, and it's not – I want people to know, it's not because Odell's chewing off his ear, telling him to throw him the football. It's because it's number 13. I trust him. I have a rapport with him. I lock on to him, and I think he can make every single play. That makes Baker Mayfield a bad football player at quarterback. The fact that he's off the field when Baker Mayfield is not locked onto him makes him a good quarterback.
We got back. We got action again. So, look, Baker's already throwing the football. And, Key, you talked about it. Like, that corner started 11 yards off.
Yes.
He's also beating him 4 or 5 yards to the spot. Now, I want to go back to that second play. Now that we got technology going again, I want to go back to the second play because it's important to point it out that it's the same formation. This is the same formation, same play. We got Z curl again, and it's that same defense
same
where
thing.
That corner's going to blow out of there. We got the go route, but that's the difference on this play, everyone. Like, that's the difference. That's not Odell Beckham.
No,
that's
it's an 80 number.
Right, that's just another receiver. And I think that Baker Mayfield, look at how he operates. He never once goes and looks back there. He realized, okay, number one's taken. Number two is my curl route. That backer's flying out of there. There's my number two curl route, and that's Jarvis Landry. And instead of forcing the ball to Odell Beckham, he just runs the play. Key, what if I told you that I think that Baker Mayfield is an operator at the quarterback position, right?
Yes.
And to operate at his best, he needs clarity.
Yes.
And I think that having Odell Beckham off the field is going to provide clarity to him as a quarterback.
It certainly will because he won't lock on to him. This is not an Odell problem. It's a Baker Mayfield problem because he needs to go through the progressions, whether OBJ's on the field or off the field, whether he's the 1, 2, or 3 receiver. He needs to scan the field before he decides to deliver. When you lock on to all great receivers, and quarterbacks do it, you know it, Dan, whether it's whether it's a Michael Thomas or Julio Jones or an OBJ, they lock on. And you got to learn to get off that guy when it's not right.
And I think the eye in the sky proves that Baker Mayfield, while the offense may not have its playmaker, should play better at the quarterback position.
Let's continue this receiver theme, guys. Antonio Brown officially signed by the Buccaneers. It's a contract with a max value of $2.5 million. Most of it, though, incentive-based, not guaranteed money. Just a few hours ago, maybe even less than that, Randy Moss talking to Tom Brady about AB and so much more. Take a listen to this just into NFL Live.
Well, I've watched Antonio for a long time and then had the opportunity to play with him last year for a short period of time. And, Jason and Bruce, felt like there was a right opportunity to add him to a really talented group that we already have. And I certainly didn't object to it. I think the more good players we have on our team, the better we can become. And he's joining a very deep group of players at that position. And Antonio's going to work his heart, work as hard as he always has. He's a very hard worker. Everyone knows that. And, we'll see what we can do when he gets on the field.
All right, so plenty wondered if it was Tom Brady's idea to bring AB into Tampa, if it was Bruce Arians' idea, who exactly was responsible for it. Either way, you heard what Brady just said there. He's certainly going to have to work to get his opportunities in that offense. Marcus, when you think about the signing of AB and what you just heard from Brady from earlier today, is it worth the risk to sign him?
Yeah, it's worth the risk as long as AB is up for the challenge and up to do the things the correct way. Because, listen, Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay to win Super Bowls. They pushed all their chips to the middle of the table a long time ago before this AB situation even presented itself. Now you add another piece to this puzzle that is unguardable and undefendable. Now, when you talk about him, Mike Evans, Godwin, what we see with Scotty Miller, Gronk reemerging, this defense playing the way they play, you go into this game trying to figure out how to stop 6 or 7 people, and you end up not stopping a damn thing. So that's where Tampa is right now. And listen, we can talk about AB earning his time and earning his ball. They didn't bring AB in to see if he could play football. They didn't sign him after all of the things that's transpired with AB as far as football on the field to figure out if they can get him the ball. They signed AB to continue to formulate an imprint that they are going to win a Super Bowl. That's their plan. We see people that are doing things. We just talked about Seattle with Dunlap making a move because they are Super Bowl contenders. And Tampa saw this opportunity. Obviously, Tom Brady vouched for AB. And people will have to remember, it wasn't anything in particular with New England. It was off the field the reason why AB was out of the league and not playing for New England anymore. So when we look at all of that in totality, they just added a monster outside on the edges along with the other guys that they have. This is a problem for everybody in the NFL, and they know it.
I hate to use the word risk because much like you said, Marcus, it was off the field. We're talking about on the field, and I think he's going to be a stud on the football field. I think they know what to do with him on the football field. The only thing that we hope, at least I do, is that there's people in the building that can help him understand fully what transpired off the field so that he doesn't put himself in those positions anymore and he can play football because he has a, I guess you would call it a fifth chance now to play football again. And Tom Brady, I mean, look, I understand Bruce Arians saying Tom Brady didn't have anything to do with it. I get it. I understand. Take the heat off of Tom. I got it. But let's not fool each other. You're talking to me here now. You ain't. We all know that Tom said yes, because if Tom would have said no, it wouldn't have happened, Dan.
I think of it in two different ways. One, don't screw Tom Brady over twice. It did last year when he stuck his neck out there for you, and he's obviously stuck his neck out there for you again this year. And so I think AB is conscious of that. Two, we've got to remember when the Buccaneers had that like two-game stretch this season when their offense wasn't what we thought it would be. Was like Mike Evans got banged up and Godwin missed a game. Now Godwin's got surgery, so he's going to miss another game. And then how healthy is Mike Evans' ankle? This game, they played seven games. To go win the Super Bowl, they're going to play, what, 20 games?
Yeah.
So they have 13 games left. So this is as much an addition to be as good as we possibly can, but also to make sure that we're as loaded as we possibly can, just in case someone has to miss time.
Yeah, you mentioned Godwin, of course. He's out at least a week, maybe a little longer with that surgery on the thumb. And then AB would not be available to play until week
Ells.
Nine. So, they, yeah, real fast. Go ahead.
Ells, this is ridiculous, all right? Offensively, I just want people to understand how ridiculous the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are now offensively. At some other time, we'll put that in perspective for people. This is a mess for defenses. It's as close as unguardable as I can think of.
Right. And as precise as Tom Brady's been, as much time as he's had back there with his O-line protecting
him as well.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Tua time in Miami. The rookie quarterback has already completed a couple NFL passes, of course, but gets an Aaron Donald-sized welcome in his first start this week against the Rams. So let's hear what Tua had to say in talking about that great Rams defense that he'll see when he gets the start on Sunday.
We know what we're going up against. We're going up against one of the top NFL defenses, you know, in the league. And it's not just Jalen Ramsey. It's not just Aaron Donald. You know, you guys got, you know, Leonard Floyd, you guys got Brockers, Young, and then Troy Hill, guys on the back end, you know, so they're very sound defensively. So, you know, we're really trying our best to prepare as well as we can against these guys.
Adam Schefter back with us here too. And Adam, remind us why the Dolphins made the decision to start Tua at this point in the season after Ryan Fitzpatrick had led them to a 3-3 start, especially against this Rams defense.
Laura, there were conversations initially when the Dolphins were debating and actually picked Tua last spring to rest him for about a year, keep him mentally, physically, emotionally fresh, and to make sure he was sidelined for about a year from the time that he suffered that season-ending injury last year at Alabama that you know very much about. But what happened here is that it had been almost a year at that point. The Dolphins' bye week got moved up amongst the NFL scheduling changes. And with the bye week coming up, I think they always felt like that was going to be the right time for Tua to step in, to have a couple of weeks to prepare physically, mentally for that starting assignment. And so they decided to do it last week, as much of a surprise as it was, with as well as Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing, in part, I think, because it was close to the year that they talked about having Tua rested, in part because it was the bye week, and in part, they think he's ready.
Yeah, so what exactly is this Dolphins offense going to look like? Dan, we've talked about the fact that Tua does it so well, the RPO offense. We saw it a lot at Bama. That's something that the Dolphins use. What should we specifically be looking for to make him comfortable?
Well, a lot of it is going to be next-level RPOs. This is just going to be like, hey, throw a bubble out there. Like, you can add real pass concepts to the run-pass option game because that's what they did at Alabama. First of all, great ball handler, great play-action game. So I expect the Dolphins to put him under center some and utilize some play-action pass where not only he can use that ball handling asset and skill, but also see the field, give him some protection and kind of manipulate the defense. And then we talked about the RPOs. This is an RPO that's going to have an angle route and a seam. So he reads those underneath defenders. They've committed to the run. Now you're going to high-load that safety, rip that seam in there in front of an overcutting corner. And then full progression stuff where you can drop him back and go, okay, number one's not there because that corner's number high. Now let's get number two crossing the tight end from one side of the field to the other. And if the safety drives it, connect that dot to a and get backside to that number three receiver for a touchdown. And that's his superpower. Like, his superpower is how well he connects the dots of a defense. I'd say there's two things that he needs to focus on. One, understand you're not the top of the food chain anymore. You know, this is in Alabama versus Vanderbilt. So you got to understand in the NFL, it's usually good versus good every single week. And then the second thing is it's a little bit different than Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. This is a 3-3 football team. Don't allow the burden of, hey, you got to go win football games, force you to do the one thing that always got you hurt in college. And that was trying to make that big play, right? And so get the ball out of your hands, operate the offense like a point guard, and make sure that you realize the ball out of your hands is better than it is in your hands.
Yeah, to Dan's point, Marcus, these defenses are totally different than what he's seen ever in his entire life. And now we're talking specifically this week about Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, Jalen Ramsey. I mean, your face kind of says it all. What is this Rams defense going to look like against Tua?
Dan, you just gave a hell of an analysis about what Tua needs to do and what Miami needs to do. But damn, couldn't my man get another defense before he played his first full NFL game? This is not the week you want to come off of an injury and start as a rookie. I'm going to say what everybody else in America is saying. Damn, against Aaron Donald. Look, Monday night against the Chicago Bears, Aaron Donald had 36 pass rush reps, y'all. He had 10 pressures on those. Think, like, context that for a rookie that's never played a game before. It's about to happen so fast. They played line games. And I'm not throwing Tua out to the Wolves. The Dolphins are, because they know what they're about to see. I hope Tua has a tremendous amount of success going forward. I hope he has success in this game. But it's very hard for me to believe that this is the particular week that we're going to see Tua Tagovailoa's potential as the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. If we do, kudos, to God be the glory. I'm going to be shocked. But based on what's coming in there in this game and your first NFL start, I ain't going to lie, y'all, I'm scared as hell for the man.
I'm happy for him, right? I'm glad to see that he's back in the fold. He gets the opportunity to play. It was going to happen. Yes, people questioned the 3-3. They had a chance to maybe small little playoff push within the division. That doesn't matter. Get him going now. Get him started now. Don't wait until the end of the year when there's nothing to play for, and then you go into the 2021 season trying to figure out what your quarterback is capable of doing. What I would say, though, if I am the Rams, I'm getting ready to heat him up. And I don't have to. I can get pressure without doing that. You don't have any receivers on the perimeter that scare me. So I'm bringing everybody to the kitchen sink. He's going to have to prove to me that he's healthy and he's capable of playing on Sundays. He's got to prove to me. I'm bringing the heat.
Listen, one of the things with getting healthy for him was about making sure that that hip was fully healed. The lateral movement would be there. They feel very comfortable with that. And it has been that time that they wanted him to have to be healed. But it's a different story when you're going against these types of defenses.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
How about the Patriots, Tom's former team? Cam's struggles are real. Since week three, no quarterback in the NFL has posted a lower total QBR than Newton. Over that span, he's thrown just one touchdown to six interceptions. This is not the Patriots we've grown accustomed to seeing in recent years. In fact, New England has scored just 115 points this season, their fewest through six games since 2000, which was Bill Belichick's first season as New England's head coach. And they haven't taken care of the football, committing 14 turnovers. A big part of that has been the quarterback play, as the Patriots have a 41-team total QBR this season, their lowest through six games since 2008. That was the year that Tom Brady tore his ACL in week one. So, Dan, are the problems with the Patriots' offense larger than just Cam Newton?
Oh, it's everybody. I mean, it's everybody in this offense that's not playing good football. And it's also Josh McDaniels. I said this before the year, like, how did they figure out a scheme to not only get Cam to play well, but everyone to play well, and then win football games? If you go back to last week, like, look at this is supposed to be a play-action pass. Those offensive linemen are standing up. That doesn't look like play-action to me. Look at the fake. It's not good enough. Watch the linebackers for the 49ers. They're already dropping back because they don't believe there's any kind of sell for the run there. No one's open because it's a two-man route. Cam comes up and makes a terrible decision, but that's a byproduct of everyone being bad. A go route up top. Cam should just be reading those safeties. Once those safeties drop down, this should be a ball that goes up top on third and four. But that safety at the left side of your screen is going to drop down and take away the shallow cross. You got one-on-one up top. Someone's got to go win. But Cam's like, wait, I'm going to stare at the shallow. Nope, I'll come backside. And he makes that throw to low to James White, and you get off the field. Like, listen, Cam is not playing well. No one is debating that. He has said that. But there's also the offensive line's not playing well. The receivers aren't open consistently enough. And then Josh McDaniels really has got to figure out a way to, like, how can they play well together as a team? The first 2 weeks, Cam had 23 carries for four touchdowns. The next three games that he played in, he's got 18 carries for one touchdown. Mm. If you're not running my passing game well and you're not running the football quarterback for New England, you can't play quarterback for them.
I think that you get back to, obviously, what they did the first 2 weeks of the season. You get back to the Miami Dolphins. You get back to what he did in Seattle. Nobody was complaining about the way he played in Seattle, but the last 2.5 games or so, Cam has been god-awful. And he knows it. It's no secret. He said it himself. But much like Dan says, I've got to get help from people. N'Keal Harry, got to help me. Julian Edelman, you got to catch those balls slightly thrown behind you, ahead of you, on the ground. You got to do it.
All right, Key, you ready for this? It's time for one more thing before we go. And this one's especially for our L.A. guy. Go ahead.
Let's go, Dodger!
Oh, hey, man.
All I can do is say the Dodgers got one, the Lakers got one. Is it time for the Rams in the hat trick, the trifecta, baby, out of L.A.? Don't hate. Title town. Don't hate. Again, let's go, Dodgers!
Loud. Wow. Hey, Marcus, could you hear him there? I don't know. We could hear him here, though, for sure.
I heard it. He turned up, and rightfully so. Listen, the city of L.A., the state of California, been through a lot. Lost Kobe, lost Nip, wildfires. They deserve all the good things that's happening for them right now.
Championships coming to L.A., and we will see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for being with us.